Open your Bible with me to 1 Samuel chapter 30. I'm going to get Proverbs because it's always poor. That's okay. Huh? Don't open that side. That was Bible problem. Since we started the Sunday morning service in October 20th, so about 7 months ago, we started with 8 people. Some of you guys remember, then when you guys came down from Tucson and to see if I'm teaching the heresy or not, we had a good start, and now God intentionally blessed this fellowship, and now to the point whether we have three options, actually four options, or more than one, we have to go, whether we're going to go to the two services or not. And possibly moving to the auditorium. Third option is to try and get him a lease. And I was told that the price is a little bit too rich for my blood. And another option is buying a property and build a building. Everything will take time, everything will go according to his will, not our way. Some of the church, some of the doctrine, Christian doctrine says that just claim it, believe it, name it, grab it. Well, that's fine and dandy. Does it work? No. According to my Bible, according to your Bible, we have to pray according to His will. Prayer is not to tell God what He should do for us. Prayer should be aligning ourselves according to His will so that we may do what He wants. If it's some sort of the laggy boy and we tell him what to do and he does it at the proper command, then who's God? Me or him? You really don't want me to be God. Trust me, ask my wife. That's my kid. Because God is so merciful, so loving, we'd rather be with Him than be me. So we'd rather obey His plan and not our way. A lot of this faith movement doctrine are to the point of danger. Almost the verge of hope, telling God what to do and He is supposed to do it. Because few verses in the Bible, are they done in the context? Absolutely not. When you put it in the context, it should be done in accordance with His will. So we simply submit this with prayer. God, you know what, let me put this one. Is me bring the people with my book or political skill? No. Come on, give me a break. You guys know that. But it is God who allows the people here. So that's His problem, isn't it? This is His church. He's adding more people, then He's going to provide a place. If not, well, we'll just pack up like a sardine and just smell each other's body oil. You really don't want to hear that, right? Too much. So just ask God and seek His will for this fellowship. Nothing more, nothing less. Because that will be the best thing for us. That's what David is supposed to do. But in chapter 27, we found him that he was talking to himself, I will do this. Because his short-sighted decision, almost 2,000 people. Why 2,000 people? Because if he had 600 soldiers and their families. So when you multiply about 3 to 4 times, easily over 2,000 people's lives were in jeopardy. They were in mess for 16 long months. I'm not about to have that kind of responsibility on my shoulder. If I'm called to be a pastor of this Calvary Chapel of Sarita, and if I'm involved with your lives, I'm not going to make your life in jeopardy because of my stupidity or the short sight. So I'm going to wait upon God until God says, do something, I'm not doing anything. If He says do it, your opinion, my opinion doesn't mean anything. So open your Bible with me to chapter 30 of 1 Samuel. in chapter 29, we found out that David, because he's short-sighted decision, everybody in jeopardy, and now their price had to be paid. He was told to join the Philistines to fight against David's own people, Israelite people. He was facing war with his own people, but God's providence came in and he was told to go home. For a soldier, being a soldier, he was humiliated. So he had to leave and go home. That's where we left him in chapter 29, in verse 1 of chapter 30. Before we go there, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, you are always good to us. You are always loving. Because you are sovereign, you know all things. Simply, we are relying on your wisdom and asking you to guide us and to have righteousness for your name's sake. Bless your word and your word be spoken. And in Jesus' name, amen. Verse 1, now it happened when the David and his men came to Ziklag, and on the third day that the Amalekite had invaded the south and the Ziklag, attacked the Ziklag and burned it with a fire, had taken captive the woman and those who were there. From the small to great, and they did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So the David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with a fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. And then the people and who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to live. And David's two wives, Anoam and Zizelite, and Abigail, and a widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed for the people's thought of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and daughters. David strengthened himself, the circle marked with arrow and rainbow color, I don't care what you do, underline, strength himself in the Lord. That is so important. This is the key verse. Situation doesn't look very good. As I said, he was humiliated as a soldier and he was sent home, and their city, the home they called Ziklag for 16 months, they burned down to extra crispy, and all their families taken away. They have nothing. If that is not bad enough, all of a sudden this guy's 600 guys, I think, no, 599 guys, I think, looking at the David, it's like, it's all your fault. And they're all picking up the stone. And David's thinking, okay, this guy's hit the rock bottom, so they're going to rush me. It's not a good situation. That's when he found strength. Strengthen himself in the Lord. It's very important that we need to find the strength in the Lord in the midst of difficulty. If you look at the situation around you, nothing will encourage you. But if we look to the God, we can find the strength in Him. In a way, this is a cause for poetic justice. In chapter 29 and chapter 28, we find him doing things, especially chapter 27. He was running around southern side of Israel, raiding all these different ites, different tribes, and there he was killing every one of them. There were not a single survivor soul, and he literally raped the whole village. In other words, he was nothing more than common bandit. He killed them all, burned the city down. Now this Amalekite was more merciful than he was. Actually, he didn't kill anyone, kept them alive, and they kept taking them captive. After the long calling, David looked to God, and this is a turning point for David. Yes, in David's life, we find him doing wrong things. We all know what was the famous downside of David. David and Bathsheba, right? And if that's not bad enough, adultery is not bad enough, he killed her husband Uriah. However, there was something a lot of people don't remember, is a backslide time. Backslide in time, already he was running around with the Philistine, the enemy of Israeli people, for 16 long months. However, finally, if you notice that in 16 long months, he never sought God, he never prayed to God, he never did anything to do with God. That is the typical situation when we walk away from God, when we turn our back to God. We don't seek God, we don't pray to God. Think about it, if you have a backslidden before, you know what I'm talking about. We try that, we dodge God's call, we dodge God's voice. We try not to read the word of God, we try not to have a devotion of God, we try not to have a prayer with God. Because we don't want to face it. We know what he's going to say. So he died. Now he realized he would hit the rock bottom. David literally hit the rock bottom. He couldn't go anywhere except, he couldn't turn anywhere except one direction up. That's where he found the strength. How did he find the strength? We'll go there. But most of all, we notice I asked you to underline himself. He strengthened himself in the Lord. Himself is so important. Don't think I'm making a heresy. God made every avenue, every way for us to come to him. Is that correct? You all agree? So far, we all agree. However, he is waiting for us to make the initiation. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall have a However, we are the ones who have, he will not force us to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We have to come to him and accept him as his Lord and Savior. You know what I'm saying? We have to make an initiation. If that's not true, let's look at the James chapter 4, verse 8. Draw near to God. Then what? He will draw near to us. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. Deuteronomy is the fourth book in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. I know Deuteronomy, if you're going to find, look for that that book, you take some time because it's not a favorite book, I guess. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and all your soul. If we seek him, he will be found. With all our heart and mind and soul. See, this is the difference between David and Saul. Unlike Saul, last time when we saw him on chapter 28, when he was told by Samuel, who came back from the dead, not came, really came back from the dead, he just, spirit came up, and he had a conversation with Saul, and Saul said, you will be dead tomorrow. Instead of repenting, he said, all right, I'll be dead tomorrow, and he left. Instead of repenting, he just said, he upset the situation. The difference, David is, he said, okay, God, I did wrong, I'm sorry, I need to seek you. Philippians chapter 4, 13 said, I can do all things through God who strengthens me. In chapter 40 of Psalm, I'll just read it to you, verse 1 through 3, said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he did incline to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a whole pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon the rock, and established my step. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. If we seek Him with all our heart, He will be found. If we draw near to Him, He will draw near to us. So how are we going to find and strengthen ourselves in the Lord? Very simple. This is so simple, people won't do it. I won't do it. Because we have to have this complicated formula in our head. Come on. We graduated high school, or maybe we graduated junior high, whatever. Or some of you guys graduated college or master's degree. So I don't need to speak it for Bible. I have a formula though. No. God doesn't have a formula. God has a simple word. We are the one who is making conflict here. Let's remember four things. When we are down and out, when we are with them, let's remember four things. Number one, let's remember the love of God. Let's remember His call for our life. Let's remember His faithfulness. And not the least, but last, let's remember the promise of God. In this Bible, the Bible you have on your lap, there's a 7,000, somebody who didn't have anything better to do with contesting. So don't ask me, I didn't count. I was told 7,700 promises of God. It's been fulfilled. If He has all this good track record, He kept everything, do you think He will do the rest of them? And also, let's think this. If He created heaven and earth and everything in between, do you think that He will have a hard time keeping your life and my life intact? No. Do you know, correct me if I'm wrong, I was told earth is traveling, spinning 400 miles per hour. No, 400 miles per minute or something like that. Incredible speed. It's spinning that fast, but we don't realize. Because everything is at the same time. All the atmosphere is at the same time. God is keeping everything intact. Intact all the promises. And He will keep His promise in our lives. Excuse me. So seeking God is remembering God's love, God's call for our lives, and God's promise, and God's faithfulness. When you look back your life and my life, how many times did they fail you? No. It may not be the way you want it, or the way I want it. We asked for the Corvette. He gave us a pinball. But He gave us transportation from A to B, right? Did He say that He will give us what we want? Did He say He will give us what we need? So the pinto did the job. He kept the promise. He never said no to our needs. He might hurt our pride because somebody helped us. But He kept fed us. He gave us the best to stay. That's His will. If He did all this time, it's not going to teach you and me to swim, how to swim, and then put us in the middle of the lake so we can be drowned. That's His faithfulness. He loves us too much to do that. And some of us complain that, well, God doesn't answer my prayer. Really? If you have a problem, come see me. I had the same problem. You know why? Because I was not listening. Because it was not the answer I wanted to hear. I said, I cannot hear you, God. That's not what I want to hear. We have a selective hearing. Any of you guys notice that? Especially the teenagers? Take a garbage out, then you can go out, take a car with you. Guess what they remember? Take a car with you. They don't remember that. You said it. They don't remember that. Come on, don't look at me like that. You had the selective hearing when you were teenagers. I did, though. I still do. And my wife said, it's good, it's, huh? I need a hearing. Verse 7. Yes. And he said, Rabbi, after the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So the David inquired the Lord and saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue the for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. The first thing he did when he came to the Lord and strengthened himself in the Lord, what did he do? He sought the Lord. He sought, he seek God. See, that's the difference. Saul didn't seek God. He left. And David sought God. Sometimes God purposely allows us to be in the situation where we cannot do anything other than seeking God's will. If you are in that time, take heart. God is there to answer your call to you. To encourage you. Seek Him with all your heart, mind, and soul. And remember how to seek Him with His, remembering His love, remembering His call in your life, remembering His faithfulness, remembering His promise. Let's look at verse 9. So the David went, and he and 600 men who were with him, and came to the brook, the vessel, where those who stayed the brook were left behind, and but David pursued, and at the end the 400 men and 200 stayed behind, who were so weary that they could not cross the brook vessel. Then they found the Egyptian in the field and brought him to the David. They gave him the bread and he ate, and then let him drink the water, and he gave him a piece of a cake of fig and then a few crusts of a raisin. So when he had eaten and he strengthened, he came back. His friends came back with him, for him had eaten no bread nor drunk the water for 3 days and 3 nights. Then David said to him, to whom do you belong? And where are you from? He said, I'm a young man from the Egypt, the servant of the Amalekite. My master left me behind because of 3 days ago I fell sick. We made an invasion of the southern area of the whatever it is, in the territory of the, which belonged to Judah and of the southern area of the Caleb and the weaver and the Ziklag with it. Why, I'm sure the guys were looking at them and glaring at them. See how the God provides the information to chase those people, and then, as He promised, He will, these people will get their family back. So we continue, verse 15. And David said to him, can you take me down to this troop? So he said, swear to me by God that you will neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will take you down to this troop. And he, when he had brought him down, there are that spread out all over the land, and eating and drinking and dancing, because all the great spoils which they had taken from the land of Philistine and from the land of Judah. Then David attacked them from the twilight until the evening of the next day, and not a man of them escaped except 400 young men who rode a camel and fled. So David recovered all the Amalekites had carried away. David rescued his two wives, and nothing of theirs was lacking, neither small or great, the sons or daughters, or anything which they had taken from them. David recovered it all. So David took all the flocks and herds, and they had driven before those who eat a live dog, and said, this is David's spoil. Everything the enemy took, they got them back and more. This is typical of God. If we obey Him, He not only blesses us with what we lost, but He gives us more. Now that we know that, we'll go through that a little bit later. So we're going to find about the different principle in the sharing of God's blessing with other people in verse 21. And David came to the 200 men who had so weary, and he could not follow David, and whom they also had made to stay in the brook of Israel. So they went out to meet David and to meet the people who were with him. And when David came near to the people, he greeted them. And all the wicked and worthless men of those who went with David answered and said, because they did not go with us, we will not give them any of the spoils that we have recovered, except every man's wife and the children, that they may lead them away and depart. But David said, my brethren, you shall not do so. What the Lord has given us, who has preserved us and delivered us into our hand of the truth, and then came against us. For who will heed you in this matter? But as his part is who goes down to the battle, and so shall his part be who stays by the supplies, he shall share alike. So it was from that day forward he made a statute and ordinance for Israel to this day. David declared during one of the principal here. Supply lines, people who support, as important as the soldiers in the front line. Let me point a different angle. In Christianity, there's no such a thing as a front line and a rear line. What am I talking about? Let's make an example. I'm your pastor and teach. Am I more important than somebody who's preparing this place and cleaning this place? No, I'm not. Is somebody more important because that person is in the Africa jungle and preaching the gospel as a missionary than somebody who is sending money to that missionary? No. In other words, there is no such a thing as a soldier and supporters. We work. We all the same. We are working for as a team to spread the goodness of Jesus Christ to the people who do not know Jesus. There shouldn't be a difference. So if you're supporting this church, your share is the same as my share. If you're supporting the missionary, if somebody came to the Lord because of that missionary, and your share is the same as that missionary in heaven. Remember what I just said? We not only get what we lost, we get more. When we come to Christ, guess what we get? We have eternal life. When we participate, when we serve, when we help, when we serve other people, when we bless other people with a monetary help or whatever, if you do that, guess what we get? We get heavenly reward on top of our salvation. Who's going to lose that kind of deal? It's a win-win. Yeah, double dipping. It's great. That's why it's beyond me for those who don't want to accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. Do not stop. Okay, you're supposed to go to hell, but you will be saved if you accept Jesus as the Savior and Lord. And not only that, you get to be rewarded. Is that a good deal or a bad deal? I'm not a car salesman, but that's simple, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Well, why they say no? Because they enjoy what they're doing. Because of little peace they have. You heard this story before. There's an African country, and an African country that they have such a special way to capture this monkey. They dig out inside a coconut and they put some peanuts and make a hole just enough for bare hand of a monkey to put inside the coconut. Of course they chain the coconut against the coconut tree and put some inside the, there's a peanut inside the coconut, so the monkey comes in, look inside, there's a peanut. So they stick hands in, grab a peanut. And here comes people and monkey trying to run away. Guess what? All of a sudden, his hands are too big for the hole because he's holding this stupid peanut. For the sake of peanut, he will lose his life. For the sake of people, this little enjoyment on this world, they will lose their eternal life. Am I making sense to you? I hope if you are here and you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, I hope you do not lose your eternal life for the sake of peanut. I got back to the floor. Go ahead. Verse 26. Now when David came to the Ziklag, he sent the song of his cause to the elders and of Judah and his friend, and saying, here is a present for you from the spoil of the enemies of the Lord, and to those who are in Bethel, and to those who are in blah, 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 all the peoples in this place. Name, I'm not going to pronounce and embarrass myself. You read it, you pronounce it. In other words, this is a political move. And this manning there is a strained relationship he had before. Okay, let's make a few applications. Three applications that come to my mind. We need to seek God's strength, not our own. Don't quote the Bible, yeah. Listen to me carefully. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 says, in my weakness, be strong. Apostle Paul was asking God, if you, this is your will, take this stone away from me. God said, no. He asked for 3 times. With Apostle Paul's faith, he asked 3 times. God said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is manifested in your weakness. When we still rely on our own strength, it depends on His strength. By remembering His love, His call for our life, and His faithfulness and His promise, we can be strengthened, and God will be dissolved. One thing we have noticed in verse chapter 20 and chapter 30, between a difference between the Saul and the David. I know I'm going a little long, but yeah, all this time I was finishing in 30 minutes, so you can go on a little bit longer. Chapter 28 and chapter 30, there's the Saul and the David. Saul had a chance to repent. Would he lose his kingdom to God? Yes. But still, he could still come to relationship with God himself, but he didn't. His time was expired. Somebody might say, God is always giving, always forgiving, yes, but there's a time when our hearts harden and he knows it's time to stop. I'll back it up with your words. And David, who quickly turned to him and asked for repentance. Turn your Bible with me to Isaiah 55, verse 6, please. Isaiah 55, 6. This is one of those verses I'm going to ask you to memorize, keep it in your heart, so that you may remember. Isaiah 55, 6. Isaiah 55, 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. I'm going to read it one more time. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Underline while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. If you have the same kind of Bible like I do, it's a 1202. In other words, what this verse is saying is, seek God when He is still near to our heart. Sometimes when our heart is hardened, because He is sovereign, He knows what our heart is going to be. For example, in Saul's case, He knew what the Saul is going to do, so He stayed away from the Father. I know I'm opening the can of worms with a predestination for the earth. Don't argue with me because I'm not going to argue with you about that. Simply depending on the sovereignty of God, and while He's in your eyes, let's go to Him. Let's seek Him, let's draw near to Him while He's around us. God's help is never away, far away, as long as we look up to Him and see Him. Application number 2. When we depend on God for His guidance and wisdom, we get more than what we have. Extra blessing. Why did he get extra blessing? Why did David get extra blessing? Number 1. He strengthened himself in the Lord. Number two, he sought God. He was seeking God. Number three, he was doing what he was told to do. Number four, he even spared extra time to the Egyptian in the field. He didn't have to. But because of his kindness, he learned where a lot of his family. Number one, strengthen himself in the Lord. Number two, seek God. Number three, do what he said. It doesn't do any good if we strengthen ourselves in the Lord and we seek God and don't do what he tells us to do. We have to do what he tells us to do. It doesn't do any good. Now, if we don't do what he tells us to do, we are responsible for what we learn. In other words, if you heard what I just taught you guys and you don't do, you don't seek God, you don't strengthen yourself in the Lord, guess what? It's your problem, it's not my problem. My job is to learn the message. Last application. We all work together as a team. There's no such thing as supporter and the soldier. And soldier get the extra glory and the supporter get the God and God's economy, we all share it. We work for it. It's wonderful enough for us to get to heaven. But wouldn't it be better if we receive the reward if we serve God, to honor God, by helping other people to the monetary? If you are blessed with money, that's fine. If you are blessed with time, great. Yes, you can go into heaven with a, you know, put yourself on the oil on each side of the shoulder and speak to get in and going in. Yeah, you can do that. But why? Wouldn't that be better if you could just sit in the in heaven and serve God? I'm going to tell you this, people. If you don't serve God, you're rotting yourself. I'm not talking about that. If you don't serve God, in the church or in the, wherever God is calling you to do, you are rotting yourself. That's kind of it.